I know we're all guilty of lying in bed, scrolling through this new website we just discovered with the cutest clothes, adding it all to cart, and then remembering your wallet is in the living room and you don't want to get out of bed to go find your credit card number. So then you head to the checkout in hopes that you see that purple shop button. And there it is, the iconic purple Shop Pay button that has all of your payment and shipping information saved, saving you time while you get to stay cozy in bed. Well, that's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it, because Shopify makes everything easier, from checkout to creating your own storefront. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Skims and Rhode to brands just getting started. It gives you that leg up from day one with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style. You could tackle all of the important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more, including spreading the word on your brand with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And as for that iconic purple Shop Pay button, it's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/forthegirls. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls. Shopify.com/forthegirls.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/medicare.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalario.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalario.com.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we're diving into one of my favorite things to talk about, which is being nice, too nice, as people like to say, versus being kind. And I'm structuring this topic around my new obsession, which is the secret lives of Mormon wives. So I did just go head first, dive right in. And I watched season one and season two. Season two is new. It just came out recently and it kept getting recommended for me. I've never been into, you know, mom talk, as they call it, the Mormon wives. I've never followed any of these girls on social media. They never come up on my For You page because it's just not my like algorithm type of, you know, content. And so, and I've also just never watched the show. And I figured like the show wasn't for me because I don't know these girls like online, you know? But then I finally gave it a chance, binged the entire thing. You know, I think it was like 18 episodes in total. Season one was 8 episodes, season two was 10 episodes. In like 3 days, it became so addicting. And I just have so many thoughts on these girls. If you have not watched the show, seriously watch it. And you could still listen to this episode even if you haven't, because I'm really like attributing their character, well, not character, but like their personalities, who they are, to just like confidence and boundaries and all different like life values and morals sort of things. And let me just say something. For starters, I don't really know what these girls' morals are, what their values and beliefs are, because they say that they are one thing and then they do another. They are Mormon, so they claim, I guess, to be religious and to be Christ-like and all of this sort of stuff of what, you know, we have to be like this because this is what we learn in the church. But their behavior and their actions do not line up with what they're saying. So I don't actually know what their beliefs are because they say one thing but then do the complete opposite. And I feel like that's very common in life where a lot of people, you know, they want you to think, you know, they want to be perceived as something that they are not. And a lot of people, just like in life, you know, say like, oh, well, I don't stand for this, I don't stand for that. Then they do stand for this and they don't stand for that. Like, so much hypocrisy, so much contradictory in their behavior. And it is very bizarre to watch. Now, as somebody who, like I said, doesn't know these girls offline, I didn't go into watching as a biased viewer who like had a favorite already. So I would say that I'm like on a completely like even level playing field with all of these girls, and any of them could have won me over. And so with that being said, I mean, the contrast between Taylor and Demi is astounding. And my honest like viewpoint on it is that Demi wants to be Taylor. Demi wants what Taylor has. And Taylor and Demi works really hard, too hard to try to be in, like, to fulfill those shoes. And so, you know, Taylor is a very natural born leader. And here's what I'm going to say about Taylor. Well, for context, Taylor is the one who started Montauk. So I sound like, you know, it sounds very cringy to say Mom Talk, but that's what they refer to their group as, okay? So I'm going to have to say it. Taylor is the one who started it. So she naturally had that like leg up of like, I created this, you know? But that doesn't necessarily matter if nobody respects you, because this is a big group of girls and they are always seeking their next leader to bow down to. But, and Demi, who's dying for that role, it's just not happening because of Taylor's natural charm and charisma and the way that she carries herself. So this goes hand in hand with the topic of being kind, not nice. Yes, Taylor is nice, you know, it's not like she's a mean girl, she's a nice girl, but Taylor is not the type of girl who is too nice to stand up for herself, too nice to defend the people around her, too nice that like she'll just like let you walk all over her. Taylor will bitch you out, curse you out. Like, she has no filter, no fucks to give. She's very, very raw and real and open and honest and vulnerable and just like says it how it is, which for some people is off-putting and sees that as like not being nice. However, Taylor is a very kind person, meaning she has integrity. She will have your back. She will defend you. She will not kick you when you're down. She will do the right thing by herself and by other people. And she just ultimately stands up for what she believes in. And she's true to her word. She's a woman of her word. She's not really the type, the way that I mentioned, like everyone says one thing and does another. She really does come through on what she says, whatever she says, her actions tend to follow. She doesn't just say she's going to leave Dakota and her baby daddy and then not leave Dakota. She does. She leaves him. Like, yes, she takes her time to make the conscious decision, but she follows her gut and stays true to what is right, which is a respectable trait, having that integrity and that kindness to yourself and to others. She has boundaries and so on and so forth as a leader, which is why she remains, you know, effortlessly the leader of the group. She is she's not working for it. She's just being, she's just existing. And whereas Demi is trying so hard to like steer the ship, she's really trying to navigate a narrative to go one way. She is really, I mean, it's very manipulative. She's the type of girl like the Regina George who like
is trying to tell you, if I have problems with this girl, you can't be friends with this girl. If I don't like this girl, you can't like her either. And she's very much like taking her personal jealousy and projection that she has toward Taylor and like shoving it down everybody else's throat and trying to make everybody else like hate her as well. And it's just simply not working. But here's my thing with watching these girls. Every single one of them has that I'm too nice persona to stand up for themselves, to stand up for anyone, to defend anyone. And even I listened to an interview that Jesse just did. I believe it was on the Bio Files. I listened to a bunch of interviews because now I'm like going down the rabbit hole of like trying to learn more about these girls outside of the show. And so I listened to the episode and it was Michaela and Jesse on the episode. And they were referring to Jesse as too nice. And one thing that I observed in Jesse from watching the show is that she's a follower, that she follows Demi. And one might say, oh no, but they're best friends. But there is a power dynamic. I do think that in their friendship, Demi would be the one who really called the shots more. And Jesse would follow suit. And I believe that a lot of her actions, not to take like blame off of her or accountability off of her, because I think everyone should be held accountable for their own actions. But I think a lot of the actions that she made were reflective of following Demi. And so I'm watching the show and seeing her as a follower, as Demi's minion. And then I'm listening to the podcast interviews and whatnot afterwards. And she's like, I'm just too nice. No, you're not. You're not too nice. You're a follower. You have a struggle with boundaries. You have a struggle with standing up for yourself. You would rather let somebody walk all over you than open your mouth. And so there were a few times where she would like kind of, you know, talk back, but like not in the way that she should. And so for example, like I feel from my perspective that Demi and Jesse were hardcore bullying Jen. And Jen has her own flaws, but Jen was also clearly going through a mental health struggle. And it's like, you don't know what someone is going through behind closed doors. She was clearly having issues within her marriage. She was pregnant. She was having depression, like all of these things that she was dealing with. And these two were bullying her into sharing information that has nothing to do with them. Like, that, as if they were entitled to Jen's personal life information. They were quite literally fighting with her over stuff to do with her husband that has nothing to do with them. Like what she felt like disclosing with them. And maybe there were some things that Jen lied about, but why did she owe them the truth? They are not in her relationship. So if she lied about her relationship, that's for her to figure out with her man. That is not for Demi and Jesse to beat her over the head about until she, you know, tells them the truth. Like, it's not your business. And so I watch so much, you know, bullying, which this is supposed to be a friend group, by the way. And it, to me, is a result of people not having integrity and not being able to stand up and say, no, this is not right. We don't need to do this. I would 100% say that Demi is the villain of the show. I think that there was a point where Whitney is the villain. Jen, I guess they try to make the villain a little bit because of the lies, but like not really in that way. Like Miranda, like I just feel like anyone who is kind of like on the outside, especially Whitney, like they tried to make the villain. But I think this is like one of those things of like keep your friends close and your enemies closer. The people closest to the group being Demi, like right there in the mix, that's your enemy right there. That's your villain. And so with, you know, these actions and whatnot that I'm seeing on the show, so much of it could have had a more positive outcome and everyone could have been, you know, on a better page and happy if everyone had a little bit of a backbone, if everyone had the ability to just say, no, this is not right. And so there's a lot of gang mentality. And let's use Layla, for example. What the fuck was that? If anybody watched the show, Layla, full-blown, was with Taylor in private, showing her screenshots of her group chat with Demi and the other girls, bashing Taylor. So she's with Taylor, you know, she's in this group chat talking shit with them. Then she's with Taylor in private and shows them, you know, the shows her the messages from them. And then Taylor tells her essentially that, like, she's going to have these conversations. There's going to be, you know, a fight when they're all together. You better have my back because you're here right now in private, you know, on my side, but in public in front of everybody else, you better have my back. And Layla's like, of course I'm going to stand up for you. Of course I'm going to stick up for you. Nighttime rolls around. They're in the group and, you know, the fight is happening. Exactly what Taylor said is going to happen is happening. It's everybody against Taylor. Zip lip Layla has nothing to say. She said nothing. And Taylor, being a person with integrity, could have caused eruption in this group setting and said, well, I know that you said X, Y, and Z to me because about me because Layla showed me the screenshots. Taylor could have outed Layla. She could have said, I saw your group message. I saw what you said about X, Y, Z. But she didn't. She did not throw Layla under the bus. Why not? She could have. She could have said, you told me you were gonna stand up for me. Now I'm being ganged up on. You're not standing up for me. So I'm going to return the favor and I'm going to out you to everybody. But she doesn't do it because that is a person who doesn't need to, who doesn't care to win the fight, who doesn't care to throw, you know, things at you and whatever. Like, she's just going to do what she does and be who she is. And you can either love her or hate her and she's not going to care. Like, there was so much back and forth between Taylor and Demi fighting, like throwing the low blows and whatever. And right there, Taylor had the perfect opportunity to say, I know that you said this about me. I read it in your group chat. Layla showed it to me. But that's the bigger person who chose not to do that. I mean, better person than me, because I think I would have, been like, by the way, since you're trying to, you know, shit on me right now, I actually know what you did behind the scenes. But Taylor didn't do it. And she didn't feel the need to do it because it's like, I don't care to win this with you. Like, you're throwing yourself in the hole. You're digging yourself into this hole. You're ruining things for yourself. And because she has this confidence, and like I said, like this, like, charisma to her, she's never going, like, the other girls can't turn on her because it's simple. Like, she's not doing anything wrong. It's really just Demi's word. It's like Demi's word, but Taylor's actions, and Taylor's not going against anybody and screwing anybody over. Demi is just going crazy, trying her best to, you know, get these girls to hate her. And so unfortunately it can't work. But here's the thing. The girls, the group of girls, because they don't have that, you know, way that Taylor is, they kind of just wait until the, like, everything shifts and, like, the consensus is in. And what I mean when I say this is, like, they'll hang out with Demi in private. And I think Demi, and have these conversations and not speak up for Taylor. Like, say that Taylor's not there. Demi is, like, throwing Taylor under the bus, talking shit about Taylor, like, hate Taylor. No one is defending Taylor under these circumstances. No one is standing up for her in private. They're all just kind of being like yes men, and they're like, you know, nodding and okay and yeah, like, you know, they're not, maybe not like fully talking shit about Taylor with Demi, but they're also not shutting it down. They're just like, you know, letting Demi think that they're on the same page, you know, like they're letting Demi talk. You know that saying when people are like, why was that person so comfortable talking shit about me to you? It's because you let them think that it's okay. And so that's the circumstances here. Like, if I were Taylor, say that Layla, you know, is telling me, and I'm Taylor, telling me, you know, Demi said this about you, and here's the group chat. I, in Taylor's shoes, would be, why are you even in this group chat? Why do these girls feel comfortable bashing me to you? It's because you made them think it's okay. It's because you've given them that stamp of approval that they can talk shit about me to you. So it's kind of like the saying of like lying by omission. It's like gossiping by omission. It's like you're just as involved in this just because you may not have said, yes, I agree, Taylor is a piece of shit. You also are being silent, or you're just like hearing her out and saying like, yeah, okay. So you're guilty by association. You're guilty by being simply involved in, you know, this conversation. And so because of that, I feel like there was a lot of blindsiding on Demi's end, where she thought that these girls were on her side. Understandably so, because no one stands up to her. So now these girls, because they're so two-timing and they don't even know what to do with themselves, and they're just looking for a leader, none of them have a leadership quality. They're all followers looking for a leader, someone to follow. So when they're all on the same page of like, yeah, we'll still hang out with Demi and talk to Demi, and like Taylor's kind of isolating herself and like she's not even trying. She's just removing herself from the mix, and she's just kind of like at home and the other girls are out and whatever, and Taylor's just like not bothering. They're like, okay, I guess we'll go to Demi's Christmas party. I guess we'll go to dinner with Demi. I guess we'll go on this girl's trip with Demi. Like, you know, someone's got to be like run the show here. And then when Taylor decides, no, I'm still here, and she comes back around and like they have, you know, a group meeting, and because this is like a very weird friendship where they legit have group meetings and like debriefing and voting and like checking in to see like what page they're all on. It's very bizarre. I'll talk about that in a second. But once Taylor decides, after a few episodes of like being MIA and just like keeping to herself and they're all just following Demi around, Taylor decides by the end, like, oh no, I'm still here. I'm going to come to the meeting. I'm going to voice my opinion. I'm going to, you know, show up, whatever. Then all of a sudden, everyone's like, okay, yeah, Team Taylor. And now fast forward to like the show, you know, being over and like in real time, none of the girls are friends with Demi. They're all shitting on her on social media. They're all best friends with Taylor, making TikToks with Taylor, commenting all of Taylor's posts. But in the show, when Taylor went to the CMAs, which was like a huge deal, because I think she was like, I don't think hosting, but I think she had a speaking part. Like, I think she was on like TV. I think she was on the show. And Taylor went to the CMAs, got, you know, big deal getting this recognition, being on TV, posted it on social media. Not one of the girls commented her post. Not one. Why not? Demi was still in the picture. Demi was hating Taylor vocally, outwardly. Like, all the girls were fine with it. Not one person showed support. Not one person commented Taylor's post at the CMAs. Fast forward to now. Everything Taylor posts, they're commenting. They're up her ass. Why? Oh, because our leader is back in the picture. We don't need to be friends with Demi anymore because Taylor will take care of us. It's bizarre. These are not high school kids. They're not little girls. These are grown women. These are mothers and wives. That's the name of the show, Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Wives, they have husbands, and they have children. Their group name is Mom Talk. They are moms. Like, they have not only a child, they have like 17,000 children combined. Like, they just keep popping them out left and right. Not to mention that they're all like a size 00. I don't know where these kids come out of, because they have a million kids and they're 80 pounds. That is mind blowing to me. I don't know how they do it. But anyway, the moral of the story and the point is that this is what friend groups and friendships and girl groups and all that look like when there are no boundaries implemented, when everyone is afraid of how they're being perceived. So everyone has to be too nice because they're afraid that if there's any sense of integrity here and if anyone stands up for anyone, anyone opens their mouth to anyone, then they're not going to be seen as nice. Everyone's afraid of being looked at as a mean girl when boundaries don't make you mean. Integrity doesn't make you mean. Defending yourself and defending the people around you don't make you mean. It simply means that you have a backbone. It simply means that you have standards, morals, values, beliefs, You just want to be a good person. Niceness is a self-centered behavior. It is wanting to be perceived as nice. Now, of course, there are genuinely nice people out there. Someone complimenting you doesn't have to mean that they're Regina George, where it's like, oh, I love your skirt. Where did you get it? Then they turn around. They're like, that's the ugliest fucking skirt I've ever seen. That's not necessarily the case for everyone. However, being nice and wanting to make sure that everyone knows that you're nice is a self-centered behavior because it's about your own perception. It's about making sure everybody else perceives you as a nice person. Whereas kindness is an other-centered behavior where you act in the best interest of others. It's kind of like being honest to a fault, where sometimes it's like the truth hurts, but you know that telling the truth is better than telling a lie at, you know, just because you want to seem nice. So you're like, at the cost of someone not thinking I'm the nicest person in the world, I'm willing to hurt their feelings because I'm going to tell them the truth. It is knowing that, like, I need to do right by other people. I need to do right by myself. So I am going to have that integrity. I am going to have that backbone. I am going to have the ability to say no when I mean no and yes when I mean yes. I say what I mean and I mean what I say. I'm not speaking and making decisions just based on the thought of like how other people are going to see me. I want to make sure that everybody knows that I'm nice. I don't want anyone to think that I'm mean. Being a kind person, you know that you're not mean. You have the confidence in that. You have the confidence to know, I can tell you the truth. It might hurt, but we're going to have an equal, you know, level of respect for each other in the end. We're going to have true communication. We're going to have open and honesty between each other. The vulnerability, that's another big thing, you know, with Taylor. I'll talk about that in a second. But vulnerability is really big there. You actually get beneath the surface. Niceness is surface level. It's complimenting. It's just like being friendly. It's face-to-face interactions. And it's like, you have no idea what that person says behind your back. You only know how they are, like the way that they present themselves. Whereas kindness is being able to trust that someone would have your back in private. It's being able to say, if that person was in a room full of people, they would speak highly of me. If that person was in a group setting, the way that these girls get together and they all just talk shit and vote on each other, I know that that person would not talk shit on me. I know that that person would have my back. That's what kindness is. Having the trust that this person is who they are in person, behind your back, and in private as well.
Did you know that your daily routine could be full of hormone disruptors? It's true. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and yes, they all mess with our hormones. But the good news is that we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore. Because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. My mom and I both take it and we love it for different reasons. I have a regular menstrual cycle and my mom has already gone through menopause, so our hormones work differently and we both get what we need from Hormone Harmony. And that's because Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means only using science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. It's not just a hormone-supporting supplement anymore. It became a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com. And use code for the girls for 15% off today. I know it's not always easy to whip up recipes that are fast, flavorful, and still feel special, but I have a shortcut to deliciousness for you girls. Frozen Washington Red Raspberries. They're American-grown raspberries picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours to lock in bright, sweet, tart flavor, no added sugars or preservatives, just the good stuff. Cooking and baking is such a love language of mine, and nothing says love like some homemade muffins or pancakes for breakfast, so these have become a freezer staple for me to razz up all my favorite things to make. They not only elevate your traditional recipes by adding bold flavor and vibrant color, but they honestly make me feel like a kitchen genius when my fiance says to me, "Wait, how did you make these? Something's different." Well, the secret is these berries are crafted specifically to be frozen. That means better texture, better taste, and better results in your kitchen. I've used other frozen berries that turn to mush when they defrost, and the difference is extraordinary. They're grown by passionate farmers in Washington State, so they're frozen with care to ensure top quality and food safety. You can find frozen Washington red raspberries in the frozen fruit section of most major grocery retailers like Kroger, Meijer, and Winco Foods. I always check the label for American-grown frozen raspberries. Just look for product of the U.S. on the bag. Want to learn more details on where to find American frozen red raspberries, plus recipe ideas and cooking tips? Head to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find participating retailers and inspiration for every meal, plus info on how these berries go from farm to freezer with quality you can taste.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
Okay, girls, I got a question for you all to think about. How would life be different if you developed undeniable confidence? Well, you're about to find out, because I know you're sick of settling for the bare minimum. I know you crave more in life. So imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to stop settling, to start raising your standards, and to start getting everything you want in life. And guess what? You can get all the tools through my Queens of Confidence coaching program. It's a self-paced, 8-module digital program that has been proven to change lives through recorded coaching videos, journal prompts and worksheets, and a community discussion board for you to ask me any questions and connect with the other members of the program too. Topics of the Queens of Confidence program include external validation, feminine energy, masculine energy, boundaries, high standards, communication skills, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, daily habits, mindful living, emotional availability, improving your relationships, understanding your needs, attracting everything you want, and yes, more. You can get instant access to the entire program right now, and best of all, you can watch and learn at your own pace because your access is granted forever. Some of the queens who have completed the program said, "It's the best investment I've ever made into myself. Vic is the best person to learn from. She's a true expert when it comes to confidence. Worth every penny. And I've taken a couple of courses where they sound rehearsed or just repeat the same cookie cutter things. Your course is the complete opposite, and your everyday examples really drive your points home." So girls, it's your time. Invest in yourself, you're worth it, and your 2.0 self will thank you for changing your life for the better. Head to victoriaalario.com or click the link in the show notes and get the Queens of Confidence program now.
So like I said, the vulnerability, this is another big thing when it comes to Taylor versus the other girls. Taylor shares so much about her real life, like the hard shit that she's going through, her serious like relationship issues, her mental health issues, like all of the things. She got arrested. Like, she went through the lowest point, rock bottom of her life on this show, like filmed, talked about it, talked with the other girl. Like, it's constantly like out there. She talks about the sex life and like the cheating and all of the things that happened between her and Dakota, like from the beginning, like just every single thing, extremely, extremely vulnerable. The other girls get to hide behind it, and they don't talk about their relationships. They don't talk about their hard shit at all. And it's funny because Taylor called Demi out on that. And then as they're having this fight, and Taylor's like, "You're surface level. You don't share anything personal. I'm the one out here sharing my rock bottom on national TV. Right after that, Demi starts crying and talking about her fertility issues, which is a real thing. Like, I'm not taking that away from her. It's a real thing. But the irony of the fact that she never spoke about it until Taylor called her out on it. And Taylor was like, you put nothing into the show. Like, I put my entire life into it. It's a testament to these girls as real people. Taylor is a really being real on this show and really being open and honest with every asset and facet of her life, no matter how good or how bad. Demi only wanted to be perceived, like I said, that too nice and this and that. It's all about perception. Demi really cared a lot about her perception and never once cracked until I think she finally realized when Taylor was like, no one can, like, is going to get there with you. You're not going to be the fan favorite like you think you are. You're not going to get paid the most because you're giving nothing and you're providing nothing. And that's when the waterworks came out. She's like, oh, by the way, I have been trying to get pregnant for 4 years and I can't. Where was this the whole time? Where was this the whole time? And then after that, it became a storyline. And it was a constant crying and being upset and all this stuff about her, you know, fertility issues. And it's like, listen, again, I respect it because I know it's a real thing, but it just would have came across so much different if she would have been open about this from the beginning, about how she's struggling and even saying, maybe I'm not, you know, on my best behavior because I'm very depressed. I'm going through fertility issues for 4 years now. It's really hard. It's really discouraging. It's like ruining my life. And so I may not be the nicest, you know, I may not be the kindest, but because this is what I'm going through. If she would just share that vulnerability, there would be so much more respect there. But people are so afraid of being vulnerable because they are so afraid of their perception. And they just want to seem like they have these perfect lives. And again, this is why Taylor is an effortless leader who barely has to lift a finger to be respected in that role, simply because she does not give a fuck about how she's perceived. She will share whatever. She will look however bad. Doesn't matter. She just put it all out there. Let everybody see the real me. So now it's like, you can't even hate the girl because she's giving you everything you can possibly give, you know? And that comes from a place of strength and confidence. She's strong in who she is and she's confident in who she is. So that's why it's like, here's every part of me. Take it or leave it, you know? And I think that's very intimidating to Demi because she could never. She could never, and so she will never take Taylor's position because she could never do what Taylor does. You would have to do what she did in order to do what she's doing. You would have to be like Taylor in order to become Taylor, and it's just simply not going to happen. And then the other thing, like I mentioned, with like the voting, which is so crazy, like, guys, again, these are grown women, and I was like actually getting like flashbacks of like preschool and kindergarten. Seriously, like, who's gonna be my friend? Show of hands. These women did a show of hands to see who is going to be in the group. Well, they did it in regards to one girl, Whitney. And listen, I'm like riding for Taylor right now, but like, I gotta say it again, like, they did a show of hands of who would let Whitney be back in their friend group. And Taylor, who had no reason, had no need to do this, raised her hand saying, I believe everybody deserves a second chance. I'm here for it. If she wants in, it's fine with me. It does not bother me if she's in. Nobody else did. No one else wanted her in. Everybody else was like, eh. And it was, they were like, okay, you're outnumbered. You know, maybe one other person raised their hand, but like, it was irrelevant because of what happens next. So Taylor, only one who stood up for her and said, I'm down with her in. Demi was the first person to be like, no, she's not happening. She's not coming back in. Okay, you're outnumbered. Goodbye. Fast forward to Demi starting to lose the respect of the other girls and like being, you know, fizzled out. Tell me how Demi and Whitney, the girl that she did not vote for, she kept her hand down and told her you're outnumbered. They become best friends. And Whitney goes against Taylor. Taylor, the only person who had her back. Similar to like the Layla thing. Like, where is the mutual respect? Why does nobody match that energy? Taylor stood up for you, Whitney, in front of everybody, in Demi's face, in front of you. You witnessed it. But then Whitney is the type who's like, I guess you may call it like either a clout chaser, or it's like she uses people who are convenient for her. And so like, you know, this is a group and Whitney was kind of on the outs. So she couldn't really like weasel her way in. She couldn't really find her way in. Then Demi is starting to be ostracized. Demi is starting to be, you know, on her way out, fizzled out, phased out. And she hooks on to Whitney and Whitney hooks on to her and sinks her claws in. And she's like, all right, you didn't vote for me to be in, but because you're on your way out and you need a friend right now, it'll be me. No integrity whatsoever. All about the opportunity, all about who's convenient for them. Taylor's not convenient for you because you're not the closest, you're not the best friend. So like Taylor doesn't invite you over in private to hang out alone. But Taylor voted for you to be in the friend group. So bizarre. And anytime that they gather around, because they got together and did these meetings and voted, whatever, Taylor was always fine with anybody being in the group. And she would say, like, I'm not close with this person, but I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Even Miranda. She's like, I'm not close with Miranda, but it doesn't matter to me. She could be in the group. I don't care. Like, I have nothing to lose by welcoming you in. And that's clearly what's going on here, is that there is a fear of losing and a fear of like there not being enough to go around. What do we always call that? A scarcity mindset versus an abundant mindset. Taylor is perfectly fine with more. The more the merrier. Everybody, come on, join the group. It's not going to take away from me. You are not going to steal my shine. So it's perfectly fine. But to me, who's become clearly very greedy and fame hungry and money hungry and whatever, is willing to go to whatever lengths to make sure that she is one of one and nobody could take anything away from her. You know how in the beginning I talked about her little minion, Jesse, who was like following her around, who is no longer friends with her now, finally. Yeah, Demi was willing to get Jesse kicked off of the show so that she could make more money. One less cast member, more money in my contract. This is her best friend, the girl who had her back and rode for her more than anybody. Jesse, the one who I literally said from the beginning, Jesse is like her biggest follower. So your best friend, your closest companion, the girl who's up your butt and around the corner, you would be okay with removing her from the cast. Actually, she like was pushing for it. Nobody else was. She was pushing for it. Because it would mean more money in your pocket. Again, no integrity. Big scarcity mindset. Having that feeling of like, there won't be enough for me if you're involved, is a terrible way to live. You have to live your life so abundantly that you're like, every single thing that's meant to be will be. If I don't make the money I'm looking for from this opportunity, maybe this opportunity will open the doors to another one. Maybe the reality show won't make me the millions of dollars that I am hoping it does, but maybe being on this reality show will get me to that million-dollar opportunity. Like, you have to have that sense of thinking like there's always enough to go around. There's always more to come. My time, if it's not now, it's coming. If you are not living your life thinking that your time is ever coming and you just have to kick everybody else while they're down in order to lift yourself up, that is a miserable life. If you have to dim somebody else's light to make yours brighter, how is that a way to live your life? That is an awful way. That is like every single day waking up with the burden of like, how could I finally shine today? When you should just believe that you shine on your own, that it has nothing to do with anybody else, that you don't need to take anything from anybody else, you don't need to hurt anybody else, you don't need to put down anybody else in order for you to feel good enough. And that is why this friend group is so, so, so toxic. And that is why it is so important to really know who's in your circle, to pay attention to who's in your circle. I have a podcast episode out. Let me look. I think that I just recently uploaded it as a Flashback Friday episode as well. Hold on. I'm going going through my Spotify to check the date. Yes. So I actually just uploaded this on, it's called Flashback Friday, The Importance of Who's in Your Circle. And I just uploaded it on Friday, May 16th, 2025. So Friday, May 16th, 2025, Flashback Friday, The Importance of Who's in Your Circle. If you haven't listened to that episode, listen to that episode. You cannot have secret haters in your circle. You cannot have people who would jump at the opportunity to eliminate you if presented to them. If your closest friend, the closest person that you have in your circle, is the type of person who would be willing to let you fail in order for themselves to succeed, they would be willing to kick you off the boat in order for themselves to have it all to themselves. No, you need to analyze your circle. You need to vet your circle. Who is the cancer in the group? Who is the one bringing it down, weighing it down? Who is the person who makes you feel like shit every time that you're around them? Who is the person who makes you anxious being in their presence? If I was in that friend group, I would hate to be around Demi because she spends her entire time bossing everybody around, telling everybody who they can and cannot be friends with, trying to paint Taylor into this light of being like an awful, awful person. And like her entire shtick is just like, guys, Taylor did this. She's calling her a disgusting person. She's calling her a narcissist. Meanwhile, she's not. She's so not. A gaslighter, a manipulator. Like she's calling her every name in the book. She is doing whatever she can to try to spin the narrative that Taylor is a horrible person. And if that's my friend, like if Taylor is my friend and Demi is also my friend, I would have severe anxiety even spending time with Demi because of shit like that. I'd be like, I cannot hang out with this person because this is all she does. She puts me in a terrible position. She's harassing me like about this, you know, girl that she has this like one-sided beef with. And sometimes you know, you have to pay attention to who you're friends with because you'll realize like this anxiety that I'm having isn't even mine. It's that they're creating this. They are giving me this anxiety. It's not on me. It's on them. So why are you allowing yourself to have people in your life who create that headache for you, who create pain for you, who create anxiety for you? Eliminate them, especially as you're getting older. Maybe you are married now. Maybe you are having kids, or maybe not, but maybe you're just in your 30s. At a point, you have to become exhausted with dealing with this type of drama with girls. And guess what? Guys don't do this to each other. I can't name one friend group of guys who would be voting, taking a tally and voting and doing a show of hands to see who's going to be their friend. Like, guys just don't operate that way. That petty, catty, clicky, you're in, you're out. Like, that's a girl thing. And girls need to stop doing that. You don't have to be a girl's girl. You don't have to be the biggest girl's girl in the world where you're just a blind follower of girls and you just blindly defend girls just simply because they're a girl. You know, you're a woman, so I'm on your side. Woman empowerment, no matter what you do, no matter how wrong you are, I'm on your side just because you're a girl. You don't have to be that. Okay? Like, that's not really empowerment. That's just silliness. You don't have to do that. But you should at least, the way that these girls say in every single confessional, mom talk is about women empowerment. You should at least want to lift other women up. So even if they're wrong, you can tell them they're wrong in a kind way, being honest and empowering and lifting them up at the same time. You don't have to, women empowerment is not about that fake niceness where it's just like, okay, I'm just going to tell you what you want to hear all the time because like I have this perception of being nice and I need to keep that up. That is not women empowerment. And quite frankly, like I said in the beginning, these girls are constantly saying one thing and doing another. Yeah, it's actually really bizarre how often they talk about women empowerment and supporting each other when they actually fucking hate each other. But again, this is a girl thing and girls need to stop doing this. We at the very least need to do our best of being like, you know what? I really don't want to tear down other women for no reason. So I'm just going to put a kibosh to this and I'm going to, you know, do what I need to do. But this toxicity is, it's addicting. It's like infectious. It's like you can't get out of it. It's like once you're in it, you just feed into it more and more and more. And it is quite bizarre to watch. And it's very hard to watch. Like, it's hard to watch somebody have this like smear campaign, like in real time, like watching it in real life. Like, it's not acting. It's not like a TV show like that. This is reality TV. These are these people's real lives. And I'm watching Demi get angrier and angrier and angrier about Taylor, because it's like the more that she doesn't give a fuck, the more that this one is so angry. And it's really, really awkward to, like, if I were Taylor, I'd be like, this girl is obsessed with me. Obsessed with me. It's creepy. Like, why does she get under her skin so bad? And how is this a friend group? Where is the integrity? There is none. So I really had to rant on that today, because I mean, I have never been more grateful for having a very low maintenance friend group. We do not do this. We do not need anything from each other. Quite frankly, we hardly even see each other. We have been in a group chat for well over 10 years now. I think our group chat actually started in 2013 when we graduated high school. Like, we've been best friends since high school, but I feel like group chats weren't like as consistent back when we were in high school. We were in high school from 2009 to 2013. So I feel like that wasn't really a thing. I think we really started our group chat when we graduated high school and have had it ever since. So we talk every single day, but we barely get together. We get together every couple months. We do have plans for June, so I'm finally going to see my friends. And it's just like, yeah, we like, but it's normal. Like, we barely see each other, but we are best friends. We talk every single day. And it's just like, it is what it is. Like, it's just normal. Very low maintenance. Never been happier. Never had to get together and have a show of hands and do a debriefing meeting on who's in and who's out. So, very grateful. I think that this friendship is very bizarre. And yeah, even like another thing, like just like in comparison with my friends, is just like, we're so honest with each other. Like, none of us are ever like fake to each other of like just telling the other person what they want to hear. Like, we are all always just like on each other's side, you know, like we're a team. So if you're in a group, like, you should treat that group like a team, not like it's every man for themselves. Like, a team has teamwork and team effort and supporting each other and giving everybody a chance, and everybody has a turn, you know, and everybody has the opportunity to share their story and to, you know, to shine and to be a moving part in this team. And that's the type of friendship that you want. That's the type of friend group that you want, where everybody gives everybody a turn and no one's fighting for that main spot. No one's fighting for the spotlight. And seeing that happen, like, in real life on this show is super crazy. So I really had to talk about that, like, as soon as I finished watching, because I'm like floored. Never saw anything like it. Never experiencing anything like it. And I pray to God that I never do. But then again, I would think I'm pretty sane in the membrane. So I can't picture myself ever getting into that position. So that is all that we have for today. Thank you, girls, so much for listening. Until next time, girls.
Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalario.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalario.com.